And so the message of the gospel is so important for us. It's good to see children and boys and girls and young people here tonight. And I have a message for you, a word of the Lord Jesus. We're in the days of text messages. And here is a text message. You find it in the reading that Mark read for us. John chapter 7, verse 37. Jesus, as Mark said, is in Jerusalem. It's the Feast of Tabernacles, when the Jewish people would meet and they would remember what happened in the wilderness when God looked after them and provided food and drink for them. And they would make themselves little tents made out of leaves, little booths, and they would sit there in the streets in Jerusalem and they would sing hymns and they would worship God and thank him for past blessings in the history of their people. So Jesus is in Jerusalem celebrating that religious festival. It's the last day, the feast, we are told in verse 37, and Jesus stood. That was unusual because usually teachers in those days, rabbis, they usually sat when they taught their people. But on this occasion, Jesus stood up. And then we are told he cried. He cried out. And the word is a very strong one. It means that Jesus shouted with a loud voice. Again, that's unusual because in the Gospel of Matthew, we are told that the Messiah, the Savior, he would not raise his voice in the streets. He was not somebody who was going about the street on his own, you know, making a noise. He just went quietly about his ministry in the temple. That was the usual approach for the Lord Jesus. But on this occasion, he stood up and he cried out with a loud voice. And this is what he said. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And so this is a word for us. It doesn't matter really what our age is. I hope that all of us will be able to grasp and understand what the Lord Jesus is saying to us in this verse. If anyone is thirsty. It's the last day of this particular feast now. And for that particular week, the Bible scholars tell us that there would have been certain water ceremonies. The priests would have been walking through, leading the people through the streets, and they would be pouring out water into containers, remembering how God provided water for them in the desert during those 40 years of wandering. But on this last day, we are told, there was no water pouring. There was no ceremony of water. And that makes the words of the Lord Jesus even more pointed and relevant. On that last day, when there was no priest pouring the water into the containers, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Can you see what the Lord Jesus is saying? If you're in need, whatever your need is, the Lord Jesus Christ can satisfy your need. He can take away your sins. All that you need in life is found in Jesus Christ. That really is what the verse is telling us. Jesus says anyone can come. I suppose you could take the words in two ways. You could say possibly that Jesus is saying, if anyone is thirsty, if anyone is seeking really for God, then come to me. Or it could be that Jesus here is describing us. So you could take the words, and that's the way that I'm going to take them tonight, that Jesus is really describing us. He's describing people. If anyone is thirsty, he's making a description of people. Jesus is obviously not talking about physical thirst. He's not setting up a stall there in the street selling bottles of water. He's not talking about that thirst. He's talking about a spiritual thirst. The deep longing that we have in our hearts. There is something within us. Whether we are young or middle-aged or older people, there is this desire within us. We long for something. Maybe we don't know what it is. So Jesus here is describing us. Let me just divide the Savior's words here into three parts. First of all, we'll think about the description that Jesus gives. The description that he gives. If anyone is thirsty, there's a reason for this thirst. And I'm sure the Lord Jesus Christ, of all people, would have known the reason why human beings are spiritually thirsty. It's because of what happened way back in the beginning of the world, in the Garden of Eden. Perhaps if you know the story of Adam and Eve, in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, we are told that there were a number of rivers running through the Garden of Eden. Those were real rivers. They provided water for the Garden of Eden, and then they flowed out into the world so that it was a good place to live. But we're also told that spiritually there was another river there. It was the river of God, we could say. It was God that brought satisfaction to Adam and Eve. We are told that God met with them in the cool of the day and made life wonderful and beautiful and pleasant. But something happened. Adam and Eve were warned, and Adam particularly, as the head of the human race, he was told that if he obeyed, he would be blessed, but if he sinned, then he would die and all his descendants would have to follow in his footsteps, and sin and death would come into the world, and Adam sinned. And they lost the river that was there, the spiritual river. Some of us know a man by the name of William Williams. He was a famous man many years ago in Wales. He was going to be a doctor until his life was turned upside down by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And instead he became a preacher and a hymn writer. And he wrote a hymn. Some of you will know the words in Welsh. I can't say it in Welsh. Well, I'll just say the English part. William Williams wrote this hymn, and he said, "In Eden, sad indeed that day, my countless blessings fled away. My crown fell in disgrace." I don't know what you make of that, boys and girls and young people, but long before we were on this planet, long before we were ever born, there was a man called Adam. And God gave him a tremendous responsibility, and he failed. And because he failed, sin came into the world. And the human race ever since has lost that walk and fellowship with God. The river, that we could call it the river of God, the river of life, was taken away. And the world was never the same again. The world will never be the same until Jesus comes back. And so Jesus is describing us here. If anyone is thirsty. So there's the reason for it, the reality of it. In our own lives, then we just try and describe that to us. We say, well, how does this thirst show itself in our lives? There's a thirst, we could say, to know, isn't there? So if you like the music by the Beatles, I think it was one of them by the name of George Harrison. I think he died, didn't he, some years ago. And just before he died, he asked three questions. He said, "I want to know the answer to these three questions. Where did we come from? Why are we here? And where are we going?" I don't know whether he received the answer to those. I hope he did. But those are good questions to ask, aren't they? Why are we here? Where are we going? Where do we come from? What's the purpose of life? What's the meaning of life? There's a thirst to know. Life's origin. Are there aliens in outer space somewhere? Is Tom Cruise right? The Church of Scientology. That some or other aliens long ago invaded our planet, and there are aliens all around us, and one day they're going to take over the place. There's those strange ideas. There's a desire to know the future. Astrology is still quite important to people, isn't it? They want to know what's going to happen today, tomorrow, and in years to come. What's the meaning of life? A thirst to know things. And then there's a thirst to be satisfied, isn't there? We want to be happy. We want to be loved. We want to be successful. We think that if we have the latest gadget, that'll satisfy us. I don't know what you are like in your life. I'm told sometimes by my family, I love gadgets. I think I get it from my mother. But my family tell me that I love gadgets. And we think sometimes that if we have the latest television or the latest car or whatever it is, the latest mobile phone, that we'll be satisfied. But it doesn't work like that, does it? You can get all the possessions, all the worldly goods, and you can get everything you ever wanted and desired, all the money in the world. It doesn't satisfy. Last month we heard of the tragic suicide of the famous actor Robin Williams. Famous throughout the world. A rich man. A popular man. And yet an unhappy man. Not all the fame in the world, not all the money in the world makes a person happy. And yet we do have that desire within us, don't we, to be satisfied. And then there's a thirst for self, isn't there? Do you know about this in your own life? If we're honest before God, all of us should identify with this one, a thirst for ourselves. One preacher some years ago said, who's the first person you look for in a photograph? If there's a family photograph get together, who do you look for first? You look for yourself, don't you? Why do we do that? I heard of a little boy, 7 years of age in school. And the headmistress told me that he's a troubled little boy. But at the same time, he can be lovable, but he's got many needs, causing chaos in the classroom. And so he needed what was called an assessment. And so the head teacher was waiting for the assessment to come back to know whether the little boy should be moved to another school. She told me that he's a very clever little boy, he knows what he's doing. I said, what do you mean? One day, she said, he came into school. And after the teacher had spoken for 10 or 15 minutes to the class, this little boy shouted out, is it my turn now to take control of the classroom? What is that? He was waiting for an assessment. But the Bible does give us an assessment of ourselves, and it tells us that we are selfish people. We want our own way. There's a thirst for ourselves. We put ourselves first. Sin, the word sin is just a small word, but as somebody has said, it's got that little letter of the alphabet right in the middle of it. It's the letter I. I. Me first. The Lord Jesus is describing us when he uses this little phrase. If anyone is thirsty, there's this deep need because we've lost God. And the thirst shows itself in our lives in various ways. What's the result of this thirst? Well, you know, if you see pictures on your television screens of countries of the world where there's famine and there's no water to drink, and you see little boys and girls and they have nothing to drink, you know eventually what's going to happen if they're not helped? They're going to die. And the Lord Jesus Christ, surely, when he gives this word to people, he sees people as they are, and he knows that unless they come to him, then spiritually they're going to die. That's the reality, isn't it? The Bible says that. Romans 6 verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says that there's a physical death. There's also a spiritual death, a second death. We're not animals. We don't get buried and then that's the end of us. We have a soul. And our soul lives on into eternity. I was speaking to a group of young people just last Thursday in one of the churches where I help, and there was a little girl there, and she said, as I was speaking about eternal life and so on, and these things, believing in Jesus, she said, oh, my father, she said, talks to me about reincarnation. And that's what is right, reincarnation. If you try and do good, you'll come back as a better person. But if you do bad, you might come back as an animal. And that's reincarnation. I tried to convince the little girl that is wrong. Jesus never spoke about reincarnation. I said to her, you are so special in God's sight that there is only one you. That's the truth. You are a unique individual made in the image of God. And when your life comes to an end, your life in this world then is over, but then your soul is into eternity. So I hope the little girl went away thinking about that. If anyone is thirsty, Jesus says, every one of us here tonight, boys and girls, young people, older people, this is true about us. We are human beings together in the same world. Our father Adam lost the blessings of God, the water of life is gone. Having used those words of Jesus and describe us, Jesus says a second thing. These are the words of invitation. Jesus doesn't just give a description of us, but he gives us an invitation. Listen to the invite that is given by Jesus. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Come to me and drink. May God write those words on everyone's heart here. The Lord Jesus Christ can do for you what nothing else, what nobody else can do. He can make you spiritually content. He can make you blessed. Come to me, he says, and drink. I've already said about the Feast of Tabernacles, that on his last day there was no water ceremony. And this is how one Bible scholar describes the last day. This is what he says. For 7 days, a golden container filled with water from the pool of Siloam was carried in procession by the high priest back to the temple. As the procession came to the water gate, three trumpet blasts were made to mark the joy of the occasion. And Isaiah 12 verse 3 and Isaiah 55 verse 1 were recited and perhaps sung. With joy you shall draw water from the wells of salvation. A golden container for 7 days. But on the last day, there was no golden container at all. And it's then that Jesus uses these words. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Can you see what Jesus is saying? He is the golden container full of water. If you want to be spiritually blessed and your thirst quenched, come to me, he says. Jesus, therefore, is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. No longer do we need animal sacrifices. We don't need the work of earthly priests anymore. The Lord Jesus Christ is all the fullness of God that we need. So Jesus has come to me and drink. About a year ago, I know of a little group of people. They were studying the Bible. They were reading the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And when they finished reading, they opened a bottle of champagne to celebrate that they'd finished the reading of the Bible. One man in the group, and I know this because he told me himself, he said to me that having read the Bible from cover to cover, he knew what the message of the Bible was. I asked him, well, what do you say the message of the Bible is? Oh, he said, I know what it is. The message of the Bible is that women should not lead the church. That's the message of the Bible. Now, I know that the Bible does have things to say about those things. But I thought, what a tragedy. What a tragic thing. The man had read the Bible from cover to cover. And that was the conclusion that he came to. Do you know what the Bible is about? Do you understand what the Bible is about? It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's full of God and he's full of the Holy Spirit and he's come to bring God to us. That's what the Bible is there for. One of our old hymns says about the Bible these words: it is the golden casket where gems of truth are stored. It is the heaven-drawn picture of Christ, the living Word. Jesus is the golden container, full of water. So what do you have to do? Come to me, Jesus says, and drink. Come to me. Jesus doesn't say, go and follow a lot of rules and regulations. He says, come to me, a living person. He doesn't tell us to do things, but to come to him. And so, my friend, tonight the question really is simple, but the most important one. Have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? And have you believed on him? You can read the Bible from cover to cover. You can hear sermon after sermon after sermon. But what a tragedy that you've never come to the person. You've never believed on him. Come to me, Jesus says. And then Jesus tells us what that means. You say, well, I can't come to Christ. I can't physically see him. So what does it mean? Well, he tells us in verse 38. He who believes in me. Faith. Trust. We can't see the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians look forward to the day when we shall see him. But at this present moment, the Lord Jesus hasn't promised any of us that we're going to see him. But he does expect us to trust him. And to believe in him. Believe. Come to me and drink, the Lord Jesus says. Come to me and believe. Friend, you can come to him tonight. The only thing that stops you from coming, you know, is yourself. That's why Jesus said those words, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself. Self is always the thing that gets in the way. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on him and trust him. And then lastly, a word of explanation. We've had a word of description. Jesus is describing us. If anyone thirsts, a word of invitation. Let him come to me and drink. Jesus is the golden container full of water. And then a word of explanation. In verse 38, the Lord says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Then in verse 39, we are told that this is added probably by John afterwards in his gospel, that Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. Jesus was not yet glorified. So the water that Jesus gives to us is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. And so Jesus is bringing God to us. What Adam lost in the Garden of Eden, the Lord Jesus Christ is now bringing back to us. He's restoring the river to us. He's bringing us back. He brings us back to God. Let's just think just for a few moments about this word of explanation that Jesus gives. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes in our preaching, and it's our fault as preachers, we don't, sometimes we forget to give that promise, don't we? But the apostles gave it. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And then they said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In other words, God will come to you and he will live with you and you will know him. What Adam and Eve lost in the Garden of Eden, you will know. God will be real to you. The Lord Jesus will be real to you. You will speak with him and have fellowship with him. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I was visiting an old lady up in the valley there, just up from Carmarthen where I live, and this elderly lady, she's gone to church for many years. Now she's housebound. She can't get out anymore. And so I went to see her. She was so glad to see me, and she asked for a word of prayer, and she said, I do miss coming to church, she said. I don't think I'll be able to ever come again. And I was able to remind her of these wonderful, lovely promises in the Bible. That even when maybe our days of activity come to an end and we can't get to the church meetings anymore as we once did, yet still God will be there with you. He will fill your home, he will fill your heart. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be a Christian? That even when you're in hospital or you face difficult circumstances, this is what Jesus says. He gives a word of explanation to us. Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. God the Holy Spirit will be with you. And he'll always be with you. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. I remember in my, I think it was my induction service, the Reverend Elwyn Davis, the late Elwyn Davis, preached, and he gave a story of a man, a Chinese man by the name of Lo. He was a missionary and he was travelling to another part of the world serving the Lord, and he was a bit nervous, apprehensive about where he was going. And so he opened his Bible, and there, Matthew 28, and he discovered the verse, Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And his heart was encouraged. That's the promise Jesus gives. The water that Jesus has flows to you. And God will be with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Notice also in the word of explanation, Jesus says where the Holy Spirit will be. He says out of your heart, out of your innermost being. You will have this river within you. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, the story of Hezekiah. Do you know that story? Hezekiah was a king and he was faced with the king of Assyria coming against him, King Sennacherib. And the first thing that kings did in those days was to cut off the water supply, so the people inside the city would eventually have to surrender. What Hezekiah did was to bring the water supply into the city. So he dug tunnels under the city so they had their own water supply. So if an enemy came, Jerusalem had their own water supply. You can still go on the internet today and just type in Hezekiah's tunnels and you can still see them today. In 2 Chronicles 32 we are told Hezekiah brought water into the city. So the people were self-sufficient. They had their own water supply. Some people say that Psalm 46 is based on that story of Hezekiah. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not be moved, although the mountains fall against us and so on. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. What is the river? God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. The Lord Jesus Christ, you see, brings water into the city of your heart. That's what the verse says. In your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Then the Lord Jesus says in the word of explanation that these rivers of water will flow out so that you will have something to give to other people. Do you have something to give to other people in these days? Something spiritually? I think of a man, I think he was a deacon in a church in a Patalbot area somewhere some years ago, and one day some Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on his door. And he sent them away, and afterwards he was troubled, and he got on the phone to his minister. And he said, you know, I'm troubled, he said, because some Jehovah's Witnesses just knocked on my door and I've been in the church all these years and I had nothing to say to them. Nothing to say to them. Have you got something to say to people? The Lord Jesus Christ. The golden water, the golden container full of water has come to you and you're able to offer it to others. Isn't that what you want to do here as a church in Bethel? You want the water of life to come to others. That's what Jesus says. And then one last word. Perhaps this is the most important thing by way of explanation. Jesus says, or John says, as a result of Jesus' teaching in verse 39, the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. How is it that God can give us such a wonderful gift? The Lord Jesus coming into the world. God coming to us and the Holy Spirit. How can he give us such a gift? And there's the answer at the end of verse 39. When Jesus said these words, of course, the event hadn't yet happened. Jesus was not yet glorified. When was Jesus glorified? And John's Gospel tells us clearly, doesn't it? Jesus was glorified when he died on the cross. It was the moment of his glory. This gift of life comes to us as a gift. Eternal life is a free gift. But the Lord Jesus Christ had to pay for it on the cross. And he did that by bearing our sins. If anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. Didn't Jesus cry out on the cross? I thirst. I thirst. The Father forsook him. For a while, the river of life that is God was withheld from Jesus for a while on the cross, and Jesus cried out, I thirst. The price that he had to pay so that we could have these wonderful blessings given to us. The Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again and went back to heaven, and then the Holy Spirit was given in fullness and in abundance on the day of Pentecost. And we live now the other side of the cross. We live in New Testament times. No more animal sacrifices. No more priestly work. We simply rely on the finished work of Jesus Christ. And we trust him to save us. Jesus was glorified on the cross. He took our sins, dear friends. He went through all the pains of hell so that you and I could be spared that. He died in our place. Do you know of anybody else who's done that? Any other religion in the world that can offer you a saviour like that? There is none. Only the Lord Jesus. And so as I close now, I invite you to come to him. If you've never believed on him before, if the Lord Jesus is not your saviour, trust in him. If anyone is thirsty, Jesus says, and you are thirsty, there's a deep longing in your soul to be satisfied. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can fill that void. Will you come to him tonight and trust him and believe in him? Christians, you've been maybe a Christian for many years. I have a friend and he tells me, you know, the secret of the Christian life is come to the Lord Jesus and come and come and come again. Come again. And drink of the water of life. And the Lord Jesus Christ will fill you. And out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Let's pray together before we sing our last hymn. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ that we have a Saviour. We would be completely lost without him. We would be on our way to everlasting hell and destruction. Lord, our Adam lost all for us, and we are in him. But in Christ all shall be made alive. We thank you for the wonderful promises that Jesus gave. And we thank you now, Lord, that at the end of this Sunday we can come and we can think of the words of Jesus. Help us to believe on him tonight, we pray. And to trust him and to save us from our sins. That Jesus Christ and God the Holy Spirit and the Father, we might have fellowship with you. The living and the triune God, who come to us, we pray. And fill us. We thank you for our Saviour again, who endured the cross for us and died for our sins. Lord, we praise you for him. And we ask that we might live our lives for him. That you will use us in a way that maybe you've never used us before. That you will take us again and fill us with your Holy Spirit. That we might serve you and praise you all our days. O Lord, bless us now, we ask. And be with us this night and forevermore. Amen.